Matthew chapter 26, a very familiar passage. This is the first time that the Lord had this supper with his apostles. It's called the Last Supper. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's called the Lord's Table. It's called communion. And what it is Jesus set this up so that this particular event would happen for all eternity. In fact, he says he will not drink wine with them again until he drinks new wine. And so he's just making sure you understood that new wine would be grape juice. And so he'll do that in his Father's kingdom. But I believe that for all eternity, we will remember the Lord's death. We'll remember his suffering with his body and his blood. Let's just read these verses and then let's just jump into the message. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. I'll read it and then I'll give you the background. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And I'll add verse 30, even if you have a paragraph mark there. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Understand the setting that we have here. It's the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus will be on the cross at 9 a.m., the third hour. John gives us a little insight of the interrogation time when it says it was the sixth hour when Pilate presented them for Jesus to go to the cross. So if 9 a.m. he's on the cross, let's say Pilate presented them to him at 8 a.m. and it might take some time for Jesus to go through the streets. If you remember, Jesus was so weakened at this time that he could not carry the cross, and it was likely the cross beam being 100 pounds or so. And so maybe Pilate presented him at 8 a.m. so that Jesus would be on the cross at 9 a.m. So that would take you to, by the time of his arrest, that maybe 2 a.m. in that range. So I want you to understand, Jesus, by the time he's on the cross, had not been asleep. So when he goes, they arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they take him to Caiaphas's house. They then take him to Pilate, who sends him to Herod, who sends him back to Pilate. He walked over 2.5 miles. In those times, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was scourged. And so our Savior went through much. But I want us to understand this morning the body and the blood of Christ. Just in its simplicity, I want you to understand Jesus gave his body. Why did he give his body? To take our punishment. Second thing I want you to see is he shed his blood. He shed his blood to take our death. But what does it mean to shed his blood? I want you to understand the Bible's clear. It says this in Leviticus 17, verse 11, says it in Leviticus 17, 14, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The life of the flesh is in the blood. Too bad they didn't know that with George Washington. I was reading more detail about it this past week. You know, we have about 5 to 6 quarts of blood in each person. It varies some, 160, 180 ounces. 5 to 6 quarts of blood in the human, let's just say 160 ounces, just for example purposes. They drained from George Washington 125 ounces of blood because they believed just a little more than 200 years ago that you would drain, they would have leeches, you would drain the blood to get rid of the disease. The Bible said the life of the body's in the blood. Now, I will tell you, I think they understood some things. The disease is in the blood. Now, you'll think I'm nuts, but I will tell you this. If I were going to be a scientist today, and I wanted to cure cancer, and I wanted to cure all disease, it's in the blood. Figure out the blood, and you got all answers to life. Understand this. People go to dialysis. Why do they go to dialysis? Because the kidney can no longer take the poisons that the blood's bringing to it. Ramp, ramp. Hey, got the disease here. And the kidney goes, sorry, I can't work. And what happens is the disease stays in you and it'll kill you. The blood brings everything that you need in life. The blood brings your nutrients. The blood brings the oxygen. The blood takes away the wastes. And I'm telling you, the more I've studied this, and I'm not trying to get goofy here, but I will tell you this, the life of the body is in the blood. And I will tell you, the life of a Christian is in the blood of Christ. The Bible doesn't say this, but I'm going to tell you I have this hypothesis. And I might sound nuts, but I'll let you know right away so you can check out early. It's this. The blood of Christ is so important to us. I have this question. When you're saved and when you get your new body, will the blood of Christ flow through you? If you ask me, I think it will. The blood of Christ is perfect. I have all kinds of crazy thoughts. I'll give you a few early. I've thought about this. You ever think about all the animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament? And the Bible is clear about this. The blood of bulls and bullocks never, ever, ever removed sins because it couldn't. They're not eternal. But why? So I've had this question. Why did they use animals? Why was their blood spilt and not humans? Now here's my hypothesis. Animals aren't sinners. Their blood's not full of sin. And when their blood was shed, now animals die. Okay, I'm not getting crazy on you here. But it would better picture blood without sin. Christ had to shed his blood that has no sin. And I need his blood. And you're going to see this. All the pictures of blood in the body are just so amazing to me. It's just so incredible to me. I mean, did you know this? I mean, I've just been doing it physically, right? And I'm not a medical doctor, so maybe I'll, but I've seen this, you know. So your blood vessels called capillaries, right? So I'll just call them blood vessels. Do you know if your blood vessels, now I don't think they've ever done this, so I've seen a wide range, but it's this, that your blood vessels, if stretched out, so the average that I've seen it range from 40,000 miles to 100,000 miles. The one that I've seen the most referenced was 60,000 miles in you, in me. Maybe I'm taller. Maybe I have 75,000. I don't know if they're just, you know, but it's this. If you stretched out your blood vessels, it'd be at least 60,000 miles. That's more than two times around the circumference of the earth. Everything's critical. I'm just telling you. If you're going to the medicine, focus on the blood. Because the life of the body's in the blood. And I think of dialysis and all those things. And you just think about this. Just let me give you this one picture just in case I forget later. Is this just such a beautiful picture? What does the blood do? It removes the impurities from your body, and the blood of Christ must cleanse you. The blood of Christ must cleanse your sin. And I'm not trying to get all, you know, weird about this, but I will tell you this. It's faith in Christ and what happens with his blood. And I'm telling you, when I begin to sing these songs and I begin to study the Word of God, the blood of Christ is precious. The blood of Christ. And so I'll be honest. In many ways, here's what the Bible talks about. I'll just look at a few verses. I don't think I've referenced them here, right? I don't think I did, right? No, I didn't. So I just got why. But just listen. So why did he give his body? Why did he shed his blood? But just listen to this. I just want you to... So generally in the Bible, when it talks about shedding of blood, it's just talking about death or the death or killing somebody. Just it begins in Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth a man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So the shedding of blood, death there. It talks about that throughout the Bible, hundreds of times, dozens of times. Acts 22:20. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by Saul, speaking and consenting unto his death, kept the raiment of them that slew him. So Stephen's blood was shed, that's just talking about his death. Romans 3:15 said, the feet are swift to shed blood, to kill. So I want to be honest that when the Bible talks about the shedding of blood, in its most simple perspective, it is that Jesus had to shed his blood. He had to die for you. But let's try to understand a little bit better. Romans 16:6 says, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. But I ask, why did Jesus have to give his body? Why did Jesus have to shed his blood? I want you to understand, it's the dilemma for all the world. Because if they reject Jesus Christ, then what is their solution? The Bible gives the solution. You pray for our Christmas Eve service, at Christmas Eve, I will share, some of you know it, and I'll go through it. I want you to rejoice in it, but I'm going to share the six qualifications. I could split it into seven, but I may by then, who knows. But the six qualifications for our substitute. I want you to understand this. Why did he give his body? Why did he give his body? It's all about Christ's substitution. This is so important. I want our young people, I want our front row scholars and our front row scholar visitors. Are you feeling like a front row scholar today? Are you? So that means you have all the answers to any questions I have. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So our front row scholars, I want you to understand this. The only way that I can go to heaven, the only way that you can go to heaven, the only way that you can go to heaven is somebody had to take your place. Because God is required to be just. God cannot be anything but just. All sin is law-breaking. God's the one that makes the rules. God's the one that says, this is right, this is wrong. We don't get a say in that. When God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Now we need to love the sinner. Because such were some of us. The only way I'm not a sinner is the blood of Christ, is by His beautiful salvation. He saved me from his sins, and he has made me a new creature. But I want you to understand this. It is substitution. I want you to see some verses. Somebody has to take your place, and His body was given. His blood was shed. Christ had to take your place. Do you understand that? I want you to understand that. Most people that tell me they're Christians, they don't understand that it's Jesus Christ that had to go in their place before God and take the eternal damnation that you and I deserve. You talk about this, make sure of this, never forget this. Why would God do that? Because He loves you. This is a love story. It's a grand love story. It's planned. It's been planned for all eternity. And I'm telling you, it is glorious. You see, we've sinned against God, and God never, He never owed us a solution. You know this, particularly those of us that are older. We rebel against God, and this is so terrible. Those of us that have been believers for a while, I rebel against God, and I consciously do it, and I basically thumb my nose at Him, and yet He still died for me, and He loves me. That's an amazing God. God gets blamed for all wrong. Everything wrong, at its root, is sin. I didn't say it's always your personal sin, but everything that's messed up is messed up because of sin. This earth is falling apart because of sin. I'm going to die because of sin. Everything goes back to sin that's bad. Everything that's good goes back to God. And so I want you to understand, it's about substitution. Somebody had to take your place, and the only one that qualifies is God. And His name is Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God came to this earth, and He became a man. 100% man, 100% God. I want you to look at some verses that talk about substitution. It's so critical. I want you to understand this. This is important. The only way I can avoid the punishment that I deserve, this is the message for the world. The only way the world can avoid the punishment, not that God wants to, but He must. He's a perfect judge. He must administer justice. He can do nothing else, or He's not God. But He made a way so that He doesn't have to punish us, because He punished His Son. But I want you to understand that the ransom was paid. But if you don't receive that gift by faith, you leave God no choice, but He must punish you. You see, there are what's called universalists out there. They teach that everybody's going to heaven because when they hear that Jesus died for all, that what they do is they say if He died for all and He took their punishment, then everybody's going to heaven. But the Bible doesn't say you go to heaven because of the work of Christ. You go to heaven because faith in the work of Christ. Understand this, it's not any of your work, but it's faith in the work of only one. See, you can't do it, you can't add anything to it, nothing adds anything to it, it's all of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, for some, boy, they've been religious all their lives. And to admit that they've been wrong all their lives is too much, and they'd rather go to hell than humble themselves before God and before man. Don't let the devil lie to you like that. We saw it in Jonah this morning. The lying vanities, the emptiness. So many people go to hell for absolute stupidity. Do not let pride get in your way. You need to humble yourself before the Lord, and you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He did all that was necessary. He did substitute for you. He did pay the ransom, but you must believe. I want you to see 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It said, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ suffered. That's why he suffered in the flesh. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was the payment. When he said, it is finished on the cross, it meant paid in full. Jesus is the ransom, the ransom. Don't get caught up with that word many. The Bible uses the word many for all. The Bible uses the word all for many all the time throughout the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What? He's talking to believers here. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. The price was paid. Now therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want you to see a couple more verses. You know this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Many of you know this. For God hath made him, Christ, for God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want you to understand this. This is critical. The only way anybody in this room will go to heaven is you have to be perfect. None of you can do it. But that's where Jesus comes in. You see, Jesus is the perfect righteousness of God. And when you, by faith, surrender, commit, believe, receive, those are all synonymous terms from the Bible. When you truly surrender, believe, commit, receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, he gives you his righteousness. He takes away your filthiness. He takes away your sin. You know what? Jesus has already died. He already took the punishment for your filthiness. So you know what? He will save you. There's nobody that's too bad in this room. The Lord's not worrying about who's worse or who's better, because it doesn't matter. There's only one way to heaven, and that's faith in Christ. Because God made Christ to be sin for us. It's so fascinating. He made him to be sin for us. And we're going to get to this in just a second. I think it poisoned his blood. And that's why Jesus could die. When he took upon himself sin, if the life of the body's in the sin, if the life of the body's in the blood, sin flows through us. Do you better understand now that the blood feeds every cell of your body, and every cell, even all of the fluids that excrete from your body, even the fluids that makes babies, it's from the blood, and it contains the DNA from the blood that's put in every cell of your body. So guess what? In Josiah and Elodie, your blood flows in them, and that's not good. You understand that? For the sins of the fathers passed to the second, the third, and the fourth generation, and your kids have the sinful blood that you passed on to them. And that's why you better get with it and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and teach them about the only blood that'll satisfy them. You ever think about this? I think about this all the time. I know you guys are going to think I'm nuts. I think about blood transfusions sometimes. You know, I think, whoa, I'm going to get a background check on these people before I get a blood transfusion. Find out how big a sinner are you? You know, I'm not going that weird. I'm just telling you, it's this, the blood. My sin flows through the blood. My evil flows through the blood. Got three children, got a granddaughter, I got a grandson on the way, and maybe I have another one. They hit a seventh bullet yet. That's what I think, but who knows? Not we're hoping. But it is it's through the blood. I want you to look at Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah 53, if you don't know that chapter, you should study it. Isaiah 53:5, it's one of the what's called a messianic psalm. It's a prophecy of Jesus. Look at this, it was talking about there. For he, Jesus, the Messiah, was wounded for our transgressions. For my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities is rebellion against God. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He took the beating. He shed his blood. He died. I want you to understand this. This is so important for you to remember. That's why Jesus is the only way. Because no one else died for you. No one else could qualify for you. No one else took your punishment. No one else was bruised for your iniquities. No one else was wounded for your transgressions. And if no one else was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, then no one else can save you. So then you are the only one that can take your punishment. You understand? I challenge all religions of the world. I meet them. And I'll say, how are you going to get rid of your sin? And they all have the same answer, and it's pathetic. Just be good. Goodness doesn't change your blood. I'll tell you this. I'm so glad that it doesn't require goodness, and I want to be good for the honor and glory of Christ. But I'll tell you this, if every Christian's being honest in here, it's tough. It's tough. And I'm not being good to go to heaven, but I want to be good because of what Jesus has done for me, and He did take my punishment. He did take my bruising. He did take my stripes. But I'll tell you this, if it was up to me being good, I'm going to hell. And if every one of us were honest, you would admit that you can't get to heaven by your goodness either. But I want to tell you this, you should be relieved. You should finally say, I'm so glad it's not up to me, because it's Christ did all the work and He took your place. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. For many of you, I'm not reminding you of anything else, but I'll tell you this, Brooke, you should be pumped after this message, not because I'm such a great preacher, but I'll tell you this, what a great Savior. You should be floating a little bit higher today because you're reminded. I'm telling you this, I trust you're born again, that what Jesus did for you, and be excited about it. And you know this, go tell somebody about Him. What a Savior. I don't care if people make fun of me. What a Savior. Did you know this? You know this? I deserve the death penalty. Just go ridiculous at lunch today. Have you ever met somebody on death row? Right here. You know, I mean, but I tip good. Then they'll listen to you. Right? And just tell them this. I deserve eternal damnation. Do you understand what that means? I deserve the wrath of God. And I've had this question all my life. How do I get rid of that? Well, let me tell you about somebody that took my place 2,000 years ago. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, the body and the blood of Christ, I had to have somebody take my place. I had to have somebody step in for me. Now, I want us to look at this. And I've almost been going crazy. It's all about Christ's blood. I don't want to dishonor the Lord, but I also think I've shortchanged the Lord with His blood. I think I sing these songs, and I think it's more than just His shedding of His blood. Yes, Christ had to take my place, and when He took my sin, He had to die. But I also believe this. The Bible, it's bloody. Sprinkling of the blood, smearing of the blood, pouring of the blood. It's all over the place. Is that all it's about? No, I'm telling you, it's about more than that. It's about this. The only way I can have eternal life, the life of eternal life, is in the blood. It's only through Christ. I want to ask this morning. Have you truly put your faith in Christ and His shed blood? I want to show you five things. Five things that the Bible says. Five things that the Bible says. It's all about His blood. We are made nigh unto God. I'm just using a Bible word. What does it mean to be made nigh unto God? We are brought close to God by the blood of Christ. The only way to be close to God is through the blood of Christ. I'll show you a Bible verse with that. Let's look at Ephesians. You'll see it on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul talking to these Gentiles here. Gentiles just are non-Jews. And he says this in Ephesians 2:12. He said, at the time you were without Christ. Every single person in this room, there was a time you were without Christ. Nobody is born a Christian. That's why you must be born again. Nobody is born physically a Christian. Never. It's impossible. You are born alienated from God. That's what this says. He says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know this? I don't think there's any Jews here this morning. I got good news. It's not just for the Jews. They were God's chosen people. He chose them as a nation to separate them, through whom He would bring the Messiah. And I'll tell you, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to believe in a Jewish Messiah. And so if that requires humbling, humble yourself, because He's the only way. But I'll tell you this, hopeless, hopeless when we were without Christ. But look at this. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're brought into sweet communion, if you're saved this morning, by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. And I'll tell you this, it is by His sacrifice, it is by His death, but it's the blood of Christ. Keep following here. Second thing I want you to see. It's all about the blood. We are redeemed to God through the blood. Redeemed to God. And so I want you to understand that. just redemption. It means we are delivered. We're liberated. We are affected by the payment of ransom. I just wanted to give you just true biblical definitions. Deliverance, liberation, affected by the ransom. Look at this verse here in Colossians chapter 1. It says, speaking about Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is talking about God, I'm sorry. God, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and who hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We've been made right with God through his blood, through the blood of Christ, through the blood of Christ. His blood was shed. Do you understand this? Do you understand how messy the cross was? Do you understand it started? Many of you do. I've talked about it so often recently. It's called hematidrosis. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring his heart out to the Father, he said, "Not my will, but thine." And the pressure, it's a known medical condition. The pressure was so great on him. I believe the pressure of the sin that was about to come. And that the Bible says that his capillaries, his blood vessels, burst in his forearm. And he was sweating, and it poured down his arm. They say this, when hematidrosis occurs, I've read a little bit more about it this week, you're very tender. Tender to the touch, because your blood vessels have burst beneath your skin. And so, you know, you think about bruising. Bruising is a breaking of the blood vessels, but it doesn't pierce and come through the skin. His blood vessels had burst. It was his arms were tender. You understand this? When then he went and he was before Pilate. Pilate didn't want to send him to the cross. His wife warned him not to send him to the cross. Jesus had been up all night. He was weary. He'd been going back and forth. And then Pilate, to try to satisfy the Jews to see if they could get Jesus off, he scourged him. The Bible says that he could count his bones. He could tell his bones. It's the old English word count. And so they would rip that off. They would have pieces of metal. They would have pieces of bone. They would have pieces of pottery on these whips, on these leather whips. They would have these steel balls on them, that what those steel balls would do when they would hit the back. Usually when they would scourge somebody, they were stripped naked, and they would just rip the flesh off of them, and they were experts at execution. Jesus began to bleed profusely. Your body prioritizes your organs and your brain. That's why you get frostbite. The Bible says you can live without a few fingers, but you can't live without the heart. God's design is amazing of the body, that when you have trouble, he says, they need a brain and they need the organs. So you cut your head, you know, it's going to be like, oh, because the body's prioritizing that. And so when they exposed his innards, gushed with blood. That wasn't enough. They put a crown of thorns on him. The Bible says they beat that crown of thorns. We've seen the thorns, and they're 3 inches thick. And they platted them on his head. What that means is they make sure they went in. The blood would just flow. That's why Jesus said, "I thirst." Because he was losing so much blood that one of the first things is your tongue will stick to the roof of your mouth. It's amazing that he could speak. The blood was flowing. Why do you think they plucked his beard? And then they put a robe on him. If you remember this, they put a robe on him when they were mocking him. "Ah, hail, King of the Jews!" And then what was worse is they ripped that robe off of him. When they put that robe on him, God's designed our body such that Jesus' body was trying to heal itself. If you just look up blood clotting and understand the complexities of blood clotting, it's so amazing. I've so enjoyed it, but I couldn't explain it to you today. I'll let God do that one day in eternity. I'll be like, there you go. But when they ripped that robe off of our Savior, it reopened the wounds, and the blood began to flow, and the blood began to gush. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 52, he wasn't recognizable as a man. Rip your beard out, your face will swell. The blood would be flowing, probably couldn't see his eyes. I told you once I had 57 stitches in my head, fell off a bridge, and they thought I lost my eye. The blood was flowing that much. It was just, wasn't knocked out. Didn't affect me. But I remember they drove me, right? They drove me, my uncle was, man, there's blood all over the place, and he put his hanky. Man, I'm telling you, I hate hankies. You know, I was so out of it, I didn't say, are there boogers in there? And, you know, I never understood that. My dad would, I'm going to put that in my pocket. That's a good idea. And so I was like, Dad, I'm not sure. And so they put it back, and they saw that my eye was still there. But the blood just was all over the place. Jesus had puncture wounds in his head. The blood flowed. He was losing blood rapidly. And then you remember this. He was already dead. The Bible says that Jesus gave up the ghost. Nobody killed him. He decided, it's finished, I'm done, I'm dead. He's God. He decided when his body would die. But then, it wasn't enough, was it? What they would do is, if you know what a spud bar looks like, that's what it would look like. They would bring these spud bars, and they hastened to get all of the criminals, and Jesus was just viewed as another criminal. They would get them off the cross before the Sabbath day, and they would bring these, what looks like a spud bar, and they would whoosh, and they would break their shins. Because they would put the nails through the feet just perfectly, wouldn't break a bone, so that it was hooked on the bones, and it would hit a nerve. They did that with the hands. The nerves were so painful. And so what would happen is the people that were crucified would, even when they're dying, they couldn't decide, I'm just going to suffocate. They would push up. Average time on the cross was 4 to 7 days. Birds would begin to come and pluck the flesh off of your body before you were even dead. And they would, in excruciating pain, they would push up. So a soldier came by and he was going to break Jesus' shin. But the Bible had prophesied that not a bone of our Savior would be broken. Amazing. He laid that bar down, but he took his spear, whoosh, and rammed it up into his side, and the Bible says the blood and the water flowed. You see, the water would have accumulated around his heart, because what would happen when they couldn't breathe very well, carbon dioxide would build up in your body, and the body would try to overcome that and try to get oxygen to the places, and what would happen is water would gather around your heart because your heart's just trying to get the blood where it needs to go. And Jesus, what they say, Jesus gave up, but they said if there was a medical reason, he died of a heart attack. But I believe he died of a broken heart. And his heart was broken for you because he loved you. I want you to take it very personal. Every single person here, the work that Jesus did on the cross, it was for you. Can we live for this great God? Oh, it's about the blood. It's about the blood. Not only are we made nigh, not only are we redeemed, we have peace with God. I want you to look at this verse. You understand the blood of Christ. And it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. It's this. The only way to have peace with God is through the blood. It's through Christ. He shed his blood so that you could be born again. Nobody else did that for you. Nobody else loved you that way. We can have peace with God. We are justified with God. What it means to be justified, it means to be declared righteous. I like a simple definition, though not perfectly accurate, just as if you never sinned. See, to be justified, just as if I never sinned. See, I can get on people's nerves faster than anybody in this room, but the real Steve, the saved Steve, is perfect, Sean. Has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. You'd say, I'd like to see him more often, right? That'd be nice, right? But I'll tell you this, I love this. I am justified before God, and it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with all that he did on that cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I want you to understand that. It's his blood, Jacob. I want you to study this for the rest of your life. It's his blood, Ron. I haven't begun to touch on the surface, but it's his blood. It's his blood. Now, some of you might say, oh, Steve, how many of you think this? I'm just curious. How many of you think that we will have no blood in our bodies when we're in heaven? Okay, good. I'm glad you're not contaminated with that. Some people take this verse in 1 Corinthians and say, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All this talking about is in your mortal bodies. If you ask me, Jesus has a body of perfect, eternal flesh. I don't exactly know what it was. Didn't touch it. But I believe he had blood, Bill. And I believe when I'm in heaven with my eternal body, I have the blood of Christ flowing through me. That's a lot better than my daddy's blood, isn't it? Because my dad was a sinner and my dad loved me. My dad would have done anything for me. But I'd much rather have the blood of Christ flowing through me. The perfect, sinless, eternal, righteous blood of Christ. I can't prove that biblically, so I'm just telling you, it's a thought that I have because the blood is so critical. the life of the body is in the blood. I believe the eternal life of my eternal body is in the blood of Christ. We'll see. We are justified. Look at this verse. I want you to see this. Just a simple verse, Romans 5, 9. Much more now, being now justified by his blood, I have been declared righteous because of the blood of Christ. I've been declared right before God. It says we shall be saved from wrath through him. I want you to understand that. Some of you may not understand that. What does it mean to be saved? It means to be rescued. Rescued from the wrath of God. Every one of us in this room deserve it. Don't classify yourself as unsavable. That's a lie of the devil. Also, don't classify yourself as okay. That's one of the worst lies of the devil. Everybody I speak to says, I'm okay. Don't you worry about me. I said, I don't know if it's worry, but I'm going to be concerned until I see Christ formed in you. Final thing I want you to see, we are cleansed from our sins. I love this verse, 1 John 1, 7. It says this. It says, now this is written to Christians, so I want you to be clear, but I believe this will apply broadly. But it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. I want you to know this. The blood of Christ, even as this is written to believers. The blood of Christ cleanses every believer from sin. Isn't that interesting? That's exactly what your blood's doing right now, Stephen. It's why some of you are like, and I don't want to mention it because then we'll have a run on it. Some of you are like, I have to go to the bathroom. Because your blood's been working while you've been sitting. Been removing the impurities. You know what I love? I love this, Stephen. Jesus is removing my impurities as I speak. You know what? He wants me to confess my sins, and I'm guaranteed that he'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness, right? But I want you to ask this. Does he leave me to myself? He does not. I want to walk with the Lord. But I want you to understand this. I want you to see this again. It's this. When Jesus, I never want it to be the same. I want you to understand this. There is a mystery. I'm not trying to make it hocus pocus. I'm not. I want you to understand this. The work of Christ, his shed blood, was more than just his death in your place. And that is huge. It is the principle of substitution in the Bible. But I will tell you this. It's the glorious blood of Christ. It's why the blood of animals could never do it. They weren't eternal. But I'll tell you, it's interesting. You guys challenge me with all my stupid thoughts because I can't find anybody that agrees with me. But I wonder if it's animals because no sin, right? Animals die because of our sin. Because the earth is cursed. Everything will die because of the curse on this earth, because of the sin of man. But I want you to ask you this, and then I'm done. Have you truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you truly born again? Is your faith in Christ and his glorious shed blood? Have you really ever given it thought? Have you really ever given it just a pondered it to say, oh, what a great God. What a great God. That loves you enough that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Before you were even a thought, Christ died for you. I want to tell you this. If I were to get this, if I were to just get this one message, my life would be different. I would live for Christ because it's so, so glorious. He is so glorious. How could I not live for somebody that loved me so much? That saved me from my sins. And I'm telling you this, what I love is this. My life is dependent on his blood. Have you put your faith in Christ? It's not complicated. It's just a surrender where you bow before him with your heart and you truly believe that Jesus died for you, that he's the eternal God, died for you, and that he took your punishment. And the only way you can avoid that punishment is by faith in him, and he rose from the dead. You know what? I want to tell you this. You know why people don't trust in God? There's just several reasons. They love their sin. Or they don't love Jesus. See, the real issue is you're not going to believe in Jesus just out of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, you need to get a hold of this one thing. How much God loved you, and will you in faith trust him? You won't trust somebody with your eternal life that you do not love. And I will tell you this, the reason why you'll walk out these doors today is because you're willing to live one more day without Christ. Christ isn't enough for you. Christ, it's kind of interesting, it's kind of cool, but tomorrow, that's a lack of love for the one that died for you. I will tell you this, if I get that just simple concept, I'm telling you this, I can be way more honorable to Christ. I'm not doing that to go to heaven. But I'll tell you this, isn't he worthy? Oh, he's worthy. I beg you this morning, get a hold of the body. Get a hold of the blood. Get a hold of the sacrifice that Jesus did for you. And I want you to ponder it all day long. I want you to search the scriptures. Just look up every scripture that has the word blood in it. It's a lot. Overwhelmed me. Almost to a point of paralysis. And so I knew I was going to preach this message when it came. And so I was up super late last night. Wish I could do a better job so you would understand the glory of Christ. Oh, Christian, he is worthy. His blood has made us right with his Father. Oh, lost person, he is worthy of your faith. Will you trust in him today? Let's pray. Oh, Father, I praise you for the blood of Christ. I want to ponder it. Father, I feel so inadequate, like I said before I preached. Oh, Father, if only one person gets the blood, I want to get it, because I know this. When I understand it, it'll change my life. It'll change my life even as a believer. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll bless both the saved and the lost here this morning. That we will never ho-hum the sacrifice, never ho-hum the substitution, never ho-hum the blood. Oh, Father, I pray you'll break through this morning. Just overwhelm people that are lost. How worthy you are. May they see you as grand and glorious, as the great loving God that loves